Good afternoon. Welcome to 2013. Thank you all for coming to the special meeting. Director Wisner has a business conflict and is calling in, has called in.
He said he would be calling in.
Okay, he will be calling in. So, do I remember that we need to get permission from the other board members in order to have him participate by phone? Should we convene ourselves first? Why don't we do a roll call, we'll convene ourselves, and then we can be official and we can permit him to join us.
Governor Pat Quinn. Secretary Schneider. Chair Wolf.
Here.
Director Bain.
Here.
Director Darcy.
Here.
Director Gonzalez.
Here.
Director Peterson.
Here.
Director Reddick.
Here.
Director Sweeney.
Here.
Director Tom.
Here.
Director Wisner on the phone.
Okay. May I just, or should we do by acclamation that we allow?
Just a motion.
You want a motion?
By the remaining
okay.
Directors.
My lawyer says we must have a motion. May I have a motion?
So moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Anybody abstain? Okay. When Director Wisner calls in, we will let him get on the phone. Thank you. Is there anyone who, there he is. Director Wisner?
Hello, yes.
Hi, we've just voted by acclamation to allow you to join us by telephone. We're delighted to have you. Thank you. And we've
well, very good. Thank you. I'm glad I'm acceptable today.
Well, we can't see you, so we don't know if you're acceptable, but we're happy to have you on the phone.
What I would say, though, is that's the best of both worlds.
We were thinking that, too. Okay, I don't have anything to add to the agenda. I would like to just mention, Chris and I were talking about this the other day because we're going, because of Mike Kelsch's presentation that at the last board meeting about marketing and going into the market with bonds, I had said at one point that we would have financial advisors come in and brief the board. And unless somebody wants to do that in addition, I just wanted to make a point that I think Mike did a great job of presenting the perspective of the financial advisors, talking about what our decisions are going to be going forward in terms of how much of the, how many bonds we would go into the market with and what we would do about changing our variable rate bonds. So unless we get to a point where somebody has some specific concerns about that, I think we will dispense with having the financial advisors come in. They have come in, they spoke obviously to Christy, her staff, to me, and to Chair Peterson of the his committee. So I just wanted to get on the record that I had mentioned we might have them in, and as far as I am concerned at this point, we don't need to unless somebody else wants to. And we can always figure that out if at some point it becomes important. Okay, Christy.
Thank you. Well, as you know, we had hoped to be able to assign the first transactional bond underwriting group this afternoon as part of this special meeting, but additional time is required to clear the disclosure process for some of these firms that were previously approved by the board for the pool. I will say that some of the firms and many of the firms have cleared the disclosure process, but we really wanted to give at least all of the senior underwriters or as many as possible an opportunity to clear the process so that we could select from as much of the entire pool as possible to put together our first team. So we are going to be postponing that recommendation until probably, frankly, we're hoping the full board meeting on the 24th, which should give ample time to have as many of those firms clear the process as possible. And you'll see in a moment from the presentation that we put together, we wanted to walk through the process of selecting the underwriters and also the procurement process. You'll see that this has been a very lengthy procurement process. Many of these firms have complex ownership structures and, you know, complicated litigation portfolios and everything else, and it just takes a great deal of due diligence to get through the disclosure process. But we're working our way through, and once we have the pool, we'll have them for 3 years, so a year from now we can start another procurement process.
Just a joke.
Just a joke. But so we're very happy that that's working its way through, and a little disappointed we didn't have the teams to present today, but a couple of weeks, and hopefully we will. We did think it was important enough to go forward with the meeting, though, because of these critical construction contracts, and as we said, it does sometimes take some time to get things going, and we want to make sure that the program stays on time this year. And I think we have some good news to share when we get to that portion of the consent agenda as well about bids and the contracts we're hopefully going to be able to discuss and approve today. So I would just like to turn turn over to Mike. Maybe you can walk us through.
Sure.
We put together this hopefully brief presentation about bond underwriters, and of course, if there were any questions, we just wanted to give you an opportunity to understand the procurement process, but also, you know, some of the factors that will go into the recommendations that we make, the ultimately recommended teams that we would like to see working on the deals.
Thank you, Christy. Good afternoon. John's also available to help answer some of the questions, if there are any questions with respect to the specifics of the process. A reminder, the description of services, underwriting services, what we're going to be expecting of these firms is for them to assist us, or essentially to market bonds to the investors, help structure and market the bonds, to price the bonds, along negotiate along with us and our financial advisors, the best price and best structure to affect the best and lowest cost of capital for the tollways capital program. As we mentioned here, the tollway and the tollways financial advisor are really ultimately, the tollway makes the decision on the structure of the issue, but we want to consult with the underwriters because they have access to the investors directly, and they know what the investors are looking for in the market with respect to specific aspects of call features and certain lengths of maturities of the bonds and so forth. In addition to underwriting services, we have a need for remarketing services of our variable rate bonds. It doesn't apply specifically to the upcoming transaction, the first bond issue, but we still do have variable rate bond issues outstanding, and remember, they require a firm to remarket them weekly or reset the prices weekly, and it is our expectation that we will want to make new assignments eventually on some of those variable rate transactions. You mentioned earlier, the initial term is 3 years with an option to renew for 2 more years. So this procurement process has been lengthy. In May, the RFP was published. 51 proposals were received. Those proposals were evaluated, and the pricing for the services was negotiated during June and July. In August, the board approved the establishment of two pools, the senior managing underwriting, or the senior pool, which are the firms that we actually contract with directly, and the co-manager pool, who act essentially as a part of the group or subcontractors essentially to the senior managers. And there's 14 firms that were authorized by the board as part of this process to be in the senior pool, and 18 firms in the co-manager pool. In September, we began the process of clearing conflicts of interest, the disclosures, and the review of their packages with respect to their disclosures. In November, there's also an additional process where we ask or are required to request of the Office of Management and Budget approval of the award, which was cleared in November.
May I interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Just ask you, so did you submit that in November, or was that submitted earlier and approved in November?
It was submitted a while back. You know, OMB's been taking a while with some other approvals, and we've had seen that, and we had sent them a few reminders that this has been outstanding
right.
for quite some time.
Okay, it just, so what's not in the timeline is when you submitted it to the OMB, which was someplace back. You didn't wait until you had gone through
all the steps.
No, yeah, that's
no,
right.
Not at all.
Thank you.
An initial award notice for a portion of the firms, 16 of the 32, was completed December 20th. We mentioned, and John can speak more to this if you have questions, but these disclosures are required to clear through the tollway, through the state procurement, or the state procurement officer, Central Management Services, the Chief Procurement Office, and the Procurement Policy Board. So there's a number of different entities that have to review and approve and clear these disclosures before a final and formal award can be posted on the procurement bulletin. So we have an award notice for 16 of the 32. The other 16 are in process and ongoing. The other aspect of this that needs to be completed is finalizing the contracts with the firms in the senior pool. We're not entering into contracts directly with the co-manager pool because, as I mentioned, they act essentially as subcontractors to the seniors. So that's the process.
Go back to that.
Sure.
5% write-up. I just asked the same question about the approvals. To have gotten to a December 20th approval from the SBO, CMS, CBL, PPD, when would those have been submitted to those entities? Is that a sequential process, or do they go to all of them at once?
No,
it depends. Once we believe that their forms are in compliance with the statutory requirements, then we submit it to the SPO, and it starts with that process.
I see. Okay. And so would that be like September, because the board approved them in?
In September, that's when the review of the vendor disclosure forms has started to take place.
Uh-huh.
And then, and here's some of the problem. I know Christy had mentioned the complex ownership structures with these firms and, you know, the litigation. Those are two, you know, real big pieces of the puzzle. But something else that I've heard from my buyer and, quite frankly, conversations I've had as well is that, you know, these firms have never been through this process before. They were very unfamiliar with it. They're like, why do I need to complete this? I've never had to do this before. I've never had to do this for the state. And, you know, the Governor's Office of Management and Budget, when they issue bonds, you know, they're not held to the same scrutiny. They don't have an SPO. They're not under the CPO authority. Their disclosure forms don't even get submitted to the procurement policy board. So in their situation, when the vendor signs under penalty of perjury, you know, the Governor's Office of Management Budget moves it forward. So in the last time we did our bond underwriting procurement, Senate Bill 51 didn't exist either. So it's pretty new. It's a new endeavor, and a lot of these firms were familiar with it. So
it did take some iteration back and forth just between
correct.
The tollway and the firm to get the forms completed. But if I recall, you know, many of the firms that have cleared as of this December 20th date, you know, submitted what we would say to be finalized forms to us, like beginning of November, right,
that's
end
correct,
of
yes.
October.
That is correct.
Right?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, some may be 1 week different or the other, but just generally in that time frame, that's about
correct.
The time frame. And so, it, you know, it's taking 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 weeks for them to clear the rest of the process.
That's the challenge.
So. Well, they weren't all submitted then. You know, some of them, it's going back, you know, some of them aren't even submitted yet because,
right.
you know, either the firms haven't submitted them, their ownership structure is very complex, and it takes a long time for them to get all of the details together, or we're going back and forth on iteration. So, you know, this is, the December 20th would have been the firms that submitted what we would say, you know, completed, you know, correct forms, and some of them, as you'll see from the next slide, are still working through the process.
So this slide indicates that 9 firms in the senior manager pool have cleared the process and have been published in an award notice. 5 firms from that pool have not yet been published. For the co-manager pool, there are 7 firms that have been published in the award notice as they've cleared through the process, and 9 firms that have not yet been published. A total of 16 published and 16 not published. With respect to the assignments, once the firms have been cleared and the awards have been made, the RFP provided for a number of criteria that we would consider in making assignments to individual transactions. And wanted to first clarify that what we're looking at doing early in the year, hopefully at the January regular board meeting, is to provide for underwriting groups for the first Move Illinois bond issuance, which we anticipate being about $500 million of fixed rate bonds, along with a second group, which we could utilize for the refunding of some of the synthetic fixed rate bonds. Or alternatively, if that synthetic fixed rate deal never makes sense from a financial standpoint, from a market standpoint, that they could be available to use on the second Move Illinois bond issuance, with the preference being there a recommendation not to name a second team and then not utilize that second team because the refunding didn't materialize as economically viable. So the thought would be, or the preference would be, to have two groups to bring, hopefully, at the January board meeting. With respect to the assignment considerations, the top priority or the top criteria is that we intend to use all the firms within the pool, and we expect, unless there's a reason to disqualify a firm, that you would use all the firms within an individual pool before you go back and use a firm the second time. So that's kind of the first criteria. One of the things that was important to having a pool was that we wanted the broadest distribution network available to us to help lower the overall cost of borrowing by reaching the most investors. You can't do that if you just use the same firms. So we wanted to use all the firms. Second criteria is tollway underwriting experience, and that's both a balance of what we wanted to do was balance firms that have worked on the tollways credit before so that they know the tollway credit with new firms that can reach new buyers. So each transaction we're going to attempt to balance firms that have experience with firms that are going to bring new capacity or new buyers. Third, we want to consider the strengths of the underwriting desks and their distribution capabilities. Strengths of underwriting desks include factors such as their capitalization. Big firms have a lot of capital, can underwrite a lot of bonds if you have a bad market situation and they need to underwrite the bonds. So you want to balance those with big capital, access to large amounts of capital, with some of the firms that have smaller amounts of capital, so we can balance each transaction out. Also, we want to consider whether or not what type of transaction we're doing. Are we doing a bond issue that requires that the underwriting desk has an expertise in short-term bonds or long-term bonds? Most of them have capacity in long-term products. A lesser number have short-term or variable rate desks, they call them. In addition to that, we want to consider distribution capabilities. Do they have a retail client network, or are they entirely an institutional buyers? And we also want to consider geography. Do they have buyers? Do they have a presence in different areas of the country? So one of the considerations we have is if we have two or three firms that have a particularly strong presence in the Southwest, for example, we might not want to use all three of them on one transaction and none on the next transaction. We want to balance that geographic distribution. And then there are other considerations as well, many of which are along the lines of precluding someone from participating. For example, if there's some financial deterioration in the creditworthiness of a firm, that might lead us to say, well, maybe we shouldn't use them on a transaction. But the top three there are the primary considerations that we will utilize in making a recommendation for these two assignments.
So in terms of the firms that have already been published, do you feel as if you have an adequate representation to be able to meet your criteria, or is that an unfair question? To balance the different criteria that you want?
I think that for one transaction, I think there's sufficient firms to be able to balance all of those criteria. I think it's best to have all the firms if we're naming both transactions.
Mm-hmm. Or as many as possible.
As many as possible, yeah.
We do think that it's important, though, that at the January 24th meeting, we try to name both teams. Because as my conversations with Mike, not only the first team, obviously we want to get going on the issue, but we also want the second team to get going on monitoring and assessing the marketplace to see if we've got an opportune time. We may want to move fairly quickly once that time emerges to do a second transaction, not the second issue, but the synthetic fixed rate refunding. So that's something we wanted to have a second team focused on.
And there's a value to the firms to be able to know what our assignment or expectation of them will be for the coming months. Helps them plan as well.
Are there other questions, trustee questions on this? I'm just trying to look at this to see if there's a pattern on the ones that haven't gotten through, and at least on the face of it, it doesn't look that way. There are big ones that have gotten through, and there are big ones that haven't gotten through. And some smaller ones there are a couple of smaller ones that haven't gotten through. So it's not a matter of size, right?
No.
It's just the complexity of the information that they have to give and their capacity to give it to us?
Correct, yes.
And how quickly they got it in.
Mm-hmm. So just one reason that this is important is because, there are lots of reasons it's important. One reason I think it's important that we have this presentation is so everybody has a good understanding of why the process is being handled the way it is. So if we come to the point where we have to feel as if we have to make a decision and not everybody is through the process, we want to make sure that you know that we're doing our best to try to do that and that there are really variables beyond our control. I think Christy and her team are eager to get everybody through and everybody on the list so that we have as many people to choose from as possible for both of these teams, but it just may be that we can't, that's just not going to happen. So, and maybe over time, as the firms become more familiar with this new set of obstacles that they have to be able to get by, that we'll be able to do this more quickly, but at least at the moment, we're still a little frustrated by it, right? Okay, so if you see anybody from any of these firms that aren't through yet, make sure that they've turned in their paper. You shouldn't have to mess with the hard drive. Okay, Christy, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks. Now, unless there's anything else, I'm gonna turn it over to Paul from engineering to go over the agenda items under engineering. We're calling them the consent agenda, although they haven't really been consented to yet, but they're on the board's main agenda for the day. I just wanted to mention that these construction contracts total, I believe, $124.5 million of work on the I-90 corridor. So we're very excited to be able to really break ground on this project. As you know, we did some advanced work this year, but 2013 is really gonna be the first year that we begin major reconstruction of the main line, and that's very exciting. It's a $2.2 billion project overall. Although, as you'll see from the bids that we continue to get, very competitive, we continue to be hopeful that there'll be additional room in that total. So really rebuilding that corridor to be a 21st century state-of-the-art corridor, linking basically Rockford to O'Hare and on to Chicago, widening it. We think that investment that we're making there is going to save drivers almost $440 million annually in reduced congestion and delays and the cost of those, which we take very seriously. And of course, will create potentially thousands of jobs, not only in the construction, but also permanent jobs, as you build out, additional capacity, but also the interchanges and everything else that we're going to be doing on that corridor. So we're very excited about that work. The tollway is budgeted $415 million, just over that, for this project in 2013, and including today's items, assuming that those move forward, more than $377.6 million in contracts will have been approved for improvements on I-90. So trying to move very aggressively to get out in front of, as we've heard, you know, procurement is a lengthy process, and we're trying to get out in front of it so that we can keep everything moving on time this year. 29 contracts will have been awarded to construction and engineering firms on this corridor, again, assuming that these move forward today. So tremendous accomplishment. Congratulations, Paul, to you and your team on it. And we thought it was very important to try to get these going. So unless there are any other questions, I'll turn it over to you.
I was very grateful that you're here today, and also I was very thankful to hear that we were going to have this special board meeting, because these contractors and the consultants that we bring on board, they have to go through the exact same hurdles that you guys were talking about with the underwriters, and it's unpredictable how long it's going to take. So these additional 2 weeks are very meaningful to us in engineering, especially when we're talking about construction contracts, because we know we have a short window in which to get work done, although it seems like the weather is going to be cooperating with us this weekend. And we are happy and excited about these contracts and the bids that we got. We're not getting overexcited or happy about it, because we also realize, I mean, this is just the very beginning of some of the major work, and some of the work that is really going to be noticeable to people when they drive by. I pushed really hard to try to get 6 contracts on this special agenda. We opened a bid 2 days ago, and it was just not enough time to go through all the vetting process that we have to do in the review process to bring it here. But we did get 5 of them done. I'm happy to report that, you know, on these 6, you know, larger type contracts, we're going to be reconstructing and widening on I-90. It's in that section, the western portion of I-90, between the Toll Plaza and the Cherry Valley Interchange. You know, we struggle to get a lot of interest in that particular area because, you know, it's a little bit of a distance away for some of the contractors. But I was very happy that we got 4 different prime contractors identified out of I'm talking about the 6 altogether, because I know the one we just opened 2 days ago includes a different prime from the ones I'm going to be presenting today. We had a maximum of 7 bidders on some of the contracts, and we had a minimum of 4 bidders, even on the ones that were in the farthest western section of our system. So I was happy with that. I think one thing that I noticed on all the contracts was that the engineer's estimate was pretty far off of the bids that we received. And that would be something that I would expect you to ask me about. And we did look into it immediately. And there are very good reasons for it. I do take a lot of comfort from the fact that we had multiple bidders. And all the bidders seemed to agree that this is how much this work was going to cost. So it wasn't just an outlier there of one person who just was, you know, sticking their neck out trying to get work. So I'm very happy, though, that these jobs are going to really be delivering on the goals of the Move Illinois program. They're creating, you know, a lot of work out there. They're going to be driving the economy in this region. And we're going to be demonstrating that we're doing things in the cleanest and greenest way that construction has been done on our system to date. So I'm very happy we're on target so far. The main reasons why these bids came in below what our engineers thought are definitely, one was the market conditions. I mean, we knew that contractors were hungry for work. We didn't know how hungry they were. And the engineers definitely didn't feel comfortable to just say, hey, I'm going to reduce all my prices, you know, 15%.